Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's worship service for the weary. Looks like not that many of us are that weary, so that's good. No. Although the season of Advent is joyful for so many, we also know that this holiday season can be drenched in fatigue, grief, and loneliness. And so this afternoon we gather as a community to honor that reality. We gather as a community to draw near to God and to allow space for healing and prayer. So throughout this service, there will be time for singing, for praying, for reflecting. In preparation, I invite you to take a deep breath in and release it. And as you do, release the tension from your jaw. Roll your shoulders back. Plant your feet comfortably on the floor. And imagine your body to feel lighter as you release that weariness from your body into the ground below us. Imagine the Spirit of God hovering close to this room, for surely God is in this place. Now, with open hearts, we're ready for worship.
Weariness feels like an ache in your bones or a slow leak from the heart, a leak that causes hope to pool at your feet. Weariness feels like the wind knocked out of you. All of a sudden, it's impossible to breathe. Weariness feels like an oversized coat. It catches on door handles and knocks over water glasses. You turn into a clumsy mess. Weariness can hit you all at once, when the phone rings, when the bill arrives, when the New York Times sends you an alert. But weariness can also hem and haw its way into your life, bit by bit, chipping away at resolve. And one short poem cannot change this truth. The weary state of our grief-stricken hearts. But one short poem can remind you the one thing we so often forget, that I can wear your jacket for a while. And we can try to stop the leak in your heart. And if that doesn't work, then we'll stand under the night sky to look at the stars and remember that we do not walk this valley alone.
At this time, we're going to light our Advent candles. So whoever's reading, thank you.
Friends, in the Advent season, we light the candle of hope. We light it for all who feel hopeless. This light shines bright for prisoners. This light shines for patients with chronic illnesses, for individuals fighting to get out of debt, for refugees waiting for a safe place to rest, and for relationships that have no clear way forward. We light this candle for the hopeless. May God's hope find them now.
In this season, we light the candle of peace. Today, we light the candle of peace for all who need peace. This light shines bright for the anxious and unsettled, for those in seasons of transition and discernment, for all who struggle with mental health, and for people navigating rocky new beginnings. May God's peace find them now.
In this season, we light the candle of joy. Today, we light the candle of joy for all who need it. May this light shine for those who are overburdened, overstretched, worn out, and worn down. May this candle shine for those who need a good laugh, even in seasons of grief. May God's joy find in them.
In this season, we light the candle of love. Today, we light the candle of love again for all who need it. May this light shine for loved ones lost, for love that has been betrayed, for love that has been neglected or forgotten, and for all who long for love and find themselves lonely. May God's love find them now. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now continue with our opening hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter.
Let us pray. Creator God, for so long we have been bending under the weight of our own grief, exhaustion, and stress. However, today, like a flower bending toward the sun, we are leaning toward you in hope. Speak a word of encouragement to us now. Help us to see that we are not alone. And warm our weary bones from the inside out. We are listening. We are bending. We are seeking after you. With open hearts we pray. Amen.
reading from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This brief passage from Jeremiah is the culmination of much of the story of Jeremiah, which has to do with the threat and then fulfillment of the destruction of Judah, and in particular Jerusalem. At that time, the people were taken captive, dragged from their land, and deprived of their temple. They were beaten, imprisoned, and faced death as a people. And it's in the midst of this context that the prophet Jeremiah dares to speak a word of hope. The prophet dares to speak words of hope and promise in the midst of a really dark time for God's people. And by doing so, Jeremiah reminds us that God didn't come to the world to congratulate the successful and high-five those who have their lives together. God came for those walking in darkness, for those feeling the weight of despair. And here Jeremiah cries out with longing for the day when God's future will be a reality. God comes for the weary. And the days are surely coming, says the Lord.
For surely God is in this place. Perhaps you are preparing for a journey. Many people are this time of year. Or maybe you are traveling across the province, or maybe just across town. Or perhaps you are waiting for someone else to do the journeying. Family coming home. Guests we're going to drop by for the evening. Christmas is often about a time when people get together, and often that involves a journey. Psalm 121 is a psalm about a journey. This is one of the psalms of ascent. It is written as an accompaniment, maybe a liturgy, for religious pilgrims from the time of the Hebrew Scriptures, who were required to journey to Jerusalem for the feast days of their faith. For these pilgrims of ancient times, travel was difficult. Dangerous mountain paths, wild animals, bandits who preyed upon unsuspecting travelers were all risks which they were forced to contend with. It is in the face of these dangers and challenges that the psalmist asks the question with which he begins the psalm. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where will my help come? And he is ready to respond. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The psalmist then goes on to give voice to the unwavering trust in God. The psalmist reaffirms that God is not some distant observer of our human condition, but is intimately engaged in our care. God is our keeper, or our protector. Indeed, the psalmist uses that word, keep, 6 times in the 8 verses that make up this psalm. And we are assured that what grieves us also grieves God. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time onward and forevermore. These are words of great steadfastness and care. Regardless of where life finds us, God is surely in that place. For us too, the journey of life can be perilous. While we might wish for smooth paths and still waters, we all face challenges from time to time. Your journey might include the loss of a job, or maybe the aimlessness of new retirement. Your journey may be the bearing of the weight of worry or concern that seems to be beyond your control. Perhaps your journey this year is one that you walk alone because of separation or loss. It was for journeys just like this that the psalmist wrote these words. A number of years ago, I performed funeral services for an elderly couple who died a little over a year apart from each other. And standing in the hall during the reception that followed her father's death, the daughter of this couple thanked me for my words and said, "You know, there is no other time when the gospel is more important or makes more sense than today." It was her way of acknowledging that God was with her family, that God was giving them hope. As we draw close to Christmas, may we grow in our understanding that God goes with us and shows his love to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who we celebrate, the God who is with us. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of humanity, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Well, when I moved to Northwestern Ontario 9, 8 years ago, I had someone tell me, "We really like our Christmas lights up here. I think it's because it's so dark this time of year, and we're in need of some light." And she was right. Lights and decorations went up early, and they stayed on long after the holidays, because there is something about perceiving the warm glow of lights in the deep of the cold nights that brings joy. It's no wonder, then, that the author of John's Gospel reminds us how Christ is the light of the world, shining in the darkness, and that the darkness could not overcome it. It's something that fits our point of reference, and it fits throughout all time. We know what it is to be in the shadows, to have the bleakness of the world pressing in on us from every direction, to be mired in grief and hopelessness. Even in asserting that the shadows could not overcome the light, the author is foreshadowing the trouble that would be to come. The brilliance of Christ would not be accepted. The light has to shine in the midst of the shadows because there's ever-growing trouble that seeks to overcome that goodness of Christ. Perhaps that's why this image is one that steadies us so much. Because as much as we know what it is to be in the shadows, we also know what it is to perceive the glow of a light helping us to find our way, welcoming us into a place of warmth and hope. So John's Gospel gives us this beautiful image of a beacon in the growing shadows that will not let the shadows win. More than that, the last line of this Gospel reminds us that the very beacon which will not let the shadows win is Christ, who decided to dwell among us, to set up camp, to move in, to move into the neighborhood, to show up in the most surprising of places, to bring about that promise of new life that continues to glow with hope. So whatever bleakness is pressing in, whatever grief is keeping you mired, whatever challenges you're facing, my prayer is that you're able to find someone who holds that Christ light for you, and that you too may hold that light for someone else. One of the most powerful experiences we can have is to pray with and for one another. So in a moment, I'll invite you to find a square sheet of paper. Choir, I don't know if you have enough. If you do, great. If not, we have extras. There are lots. And so I invite you to write a prayer request on this piece of paper. My one thing would be, please don't write any names, because we are going to be sharing these later in the service, and so we want to keep confidentiality where confidentiality is needed. So no names, but you can write down situations, you can write down your grief, you can write down whatever needs prayer. And like I said, we'll be sharing these later in the service, and we'll invite you to take one home so that you can pray over it throughout the week to come. And so we hope that you'll find comfort in knowing that someone in this room is praying for you, just as you're praying for someone else. Let's take a moment to write our prayers. And when you're finished, I just invite you to sit quietly and connect with the Holy in our midst. Thank you.
Having named and written our prayers down, we now transition to candle lighting. Allow these paper prayers to represent what is heavy in our life, what burdens us, and the prayers we lift up in the dead of night. And at the same time, allow these candles to represent the warmth of love known and the bright hope for the future. And as you are comfortable, you may come forward, bringing your prayer and placing it in the basket here in the front. And at the same time, you're invited to light a candle. A candle can be lit as a prayer request for you or someone you love, or as a light to honor someone lost, or as a signal of hope. Friends, let us pray. Let us share the light.
In a moment of contemplation, we'll listen to the choir sing and distribute the prayers that we've written down. So please take the prayer request home with you so that you can pray for the situation or the person in your prayers over the next week. And choir, I know you make up the bulk of this, so I'll just leave the basket nearby and you can pass it through when you're done singing.
God of our joy and God of our weariness, we have brought our worn down hearts to you this day, hearts full of grief, hearts carrying fear, hearts tender to the touch. We have brought our weariness to you this day, because we know that you are present with us in the valleys. We know that you were born into a quiet night like the one that we shall experience. So surely our tears from the night are not unfamiliar to you. Therefore, as we pray to leave the safe protection of this sanctuary, as we prepare to return to the fullness of our lives, we ask that you would continue to walk with us. Stay by our side through the valley. Stay by our side as we climb on our way. Just stay close. For we cannot move from weariness to joy without you. With honesty and gratitude, we give you these prayers of our hearts, those named and those left unnamed. All we give to you. Amen. Closing hymn is, 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime.
Family of faith, as you leave this place, you go into a weary world. So speak tenderly. Do the good that is yours to do. Choose connection. Hold on to hope. And remember that Christ took on flesh for you. You are God's beloved. So go rejoicing, because the world needs it. Amen. And as we leave, there's also refreshments that you are most welcome to. stay around and enjoy.